At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Swing and a long drive, deep left, way back, gone!
Welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host, the master of the Robo Scout, one of the best dang fantasy baseball players this world has ever seen, Dylan White. How you doing, man? How's it going? How are the teams doing?
The teams are struggling, but like my dynasties are doing okay. The redrafts are not doing as well. The Acuna injury obviously has kind of knocked us out of the possibility of first, I think. But we have good depth. We have Jason Dominguez in our DC just waiting to be called up and dominating. So I still have some hope for that one. How are your teams doing? Are you still leading Tout?
Yes, I'm doing pretty good in Tout. I was able to make a couple of moves. It's funny, like the Tigers did me a service of not having to wait on Torkelson any longer. So I was like really succeeding despite him, but was able to move him out. You know, I had some other options. A lot of injuries to pitching. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But been pretty sustainable there. That's been good. I'm not in last place in labor any longer. So for me, my whole goal, I just don't want to finish last. It was my goal coming into the year. It's now my goal. Even more so, it was kind of half a joke going into the draft. Now it's become it's come fully to fruition. So it you know, might have been a self-fulfilling prophecy there, but we'll see. So that hasn't been great. Home league teams in trouble. Lot of pitching injuries the last week, and I only got three IL spots, and it's like core pitching. That I can't really cut bait with. And it's a 12-team league, pretty shallow. So there's not a lot of pitching options because it's head-to-head points, but it's still one of those things where, like, I had to take a lot of injuries last week. I ended up losing because it's head-to-head. So, yeah, that wasn't great. Dynasty teams are doing pretty good. The ones that should be doing well are doing pretty well. My Raz 30, I think I've decided that. This is an alert to all the listeners. We'll see who actually listens to the podcast. I think I'm going to have to go into sell mode a little bit, like sell off some of the older players, vary the talent a little bit, you know, but that staff has six players I'm about to mention that are currently on the IL. Okay. And they're all pitchers. My hitting in that league has been great for years. I kind of invested in figuring out pitching over the course of a few years. It really hasn't materialized because of all the injuries. So here, I went back, Dylan, and I said to myself, I want to beat a dead horse here talking about pitching injuries. Everybody loves this topic. But I went back and I looked at the highest ranking pitchers from 2023. And I listed the players in the top 30, the top 20, the top 40, and the top 60 that are all on the IL right now. Okay. Majority starting pitchers, but this is mixed in with relievers as well. So you can get a pretty good idea. All these guys are starters. So these are probably among the top 30 starters or so in the game. Shohei Ohtani, obviously there's some points there because of the hitting side of things, but he still exceeded 100 something innings last year and was excellent at his pitching. Gerrit Cole, of course. Zach Gallen, now on the IL. Lost that one in a few leagues last week. Blake Snell, a struggle, but also on the IL. Spencer Strider, we know about that one. Merrill Kelly. Okay. So that is six of the top 20. And we're removing relievers even from that 20. So it's probably more like six of the top 18. It's like a third of those guys are injured. Then we go on to 21 to 40. Zach Eflin, Kodai Senga, Eduardo Rodriguez, Max Scherzer, Dean Kremer, Sandy Alcantara, Lucas Giolito. A lot of innings last year with Giolito and like a quality start. Christian Javier. We'll go on to the next list. Christian Javier, John Gray, Clayton Kershaw, Josiah Gray, Michael Wacha, Nate Eovaldi just returned from the IL, Alex Cobb, Shane McClanahan, Yu Darvish, Shane Bieber, Bobby Miller, Clark Schmidt, Joe Musgrove, Michael Wacha. I mean, like, when you list it like that, there's a lot of just depth in general that's been ripped apart for several teams. But I think just the baseline of starting pitching, though they've been performing, that pitchers, the pitching numbers are up, offense is down a little bit. Like, though pitchers have been performing, it feels as if your best course of action in a dynasty league is to roster a ton of starting pitching prospects that are right on the cusp, or like those guys who have already had some time that maybe could get back. Like, maybe this is silly. It feels like, especially in deeper leagues, 30 team leagues, things like that, pitching prospects might actually have higher level guys, good guys, top 100 type guys might have more value right now than they've had in a long time. Do you agree or disagree with that sentiment? Because I could see it from both ways. But I, like I said, me looking at my own team, my own anecdotal experience here, it feels like I have one guy that's doing great, Clark Schmidt, and he's replacing some guys that went down, and then he goes down, and then it's like somebody else comes back, like Musgrove, and then he's placed on the IL last minute, and it's just like a revolving door where I almost feel like all these high-end pitching, hitting prospects that I'm rostering, I'd almost rather have pitching prospects and wish I had like just a ton of depth where I could just call those guys up in replacements when I need IL, because you get into these deeper leagues and there's nothing out there but relievers.
Yeah, I think you're onto something. I mean, my strategy has never been to accumulate pitching prospects, but I'm finding that I have like twice as many as I normally do. And I think, at first I thought it was because there's a lot of nice pitching breakouts like Jaden Hamm or George Klaassen and Logan Evans, things like that. So I wanted to get in on them, but it's like, I'm also picking up like, who am I getting? Like Grant Taylor, I got Tobias Myers. Like I'm picking up these guys who are pitching prospects and I'm not afraid to keep them. So I think that's true. Another thing I'm finding is, so what I usually do, since I usually compete in my dynasty leagues, I just trade for pitching in season. And I don't care if it's like Charlie Morton, like I don't care if they're old. I just want someone who's throwing innings and doing well. And I'll give up a pitching prospect or a hitting prospect for that, like Charlie Morton, Yu Darvish, whatever it is, the guy at the end. But I'm finding that, I trade for the guys who are performing. What's happening now is like Pablo Lopez, Framber Valdez, these guys are not performing well at all. And the guys that are performing are like Luis Gil or like Ronaldo Lopez or like these kind of younger guys, Garrett Crochet, that you can't get now because they're young. And so they're actually assets. And so I can't trade for pitching right now. So I think it is, it's kind of the pendulum swinging, like you're saying. So it's like pitching is, you kind of want to accumulate pitching. I think my bench right now is like five pitchers and two hitters.
And these guys that are in double A or higher, I think are of great value. So one that I was all over this offseason and was able to acquire in most of my leagues, Logan Evans. So like that's a guy where he's dominating double A. We know the Mariners will even jump a guy from, you know, double A to the majors. There's an injury. They need a spot. It wouldn't shock me, you know, if Logan Evans ends up in the major leagues. Another example, Adam Mazur just got called up or is getting the call. He's a guy that you probably could have gotten for almost nothing. You know, a minor league performer, And it's a lot of times, it's not the guys with the biggest strikeout numbers, but just like good K to BB numbers and good performance that can get the ball on the ground, that throw some strikes. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, the stuff plus monster. Last year, you hit a major home run. I know it's eked back this season and regressed, but JP France, I thought was a pretty big homer. You know, right now, if you're going out and you get a guy like Zebby Matthews, Zebby Matthews might have a chance to pitch in the big leagues. You know, Simeon Woods Richardson looks like a very rosterable pitching prospect in a lot of my dynasty leagues, right? He's a guy that I have or have even tried to acquire. I think there's a lot of that right now where it's like, build that depth and don't be scared when you're taking those flyers on, you know, those international kids that get ranked in, you know, the January 15th, you know, top 50 or whatever. When you're taking shots on those guys, maybe when you're, once you're outside the top 10 or like the top 11, 12 really exciting players in the J2 class, maybe it's really time to like hammer pitching in some of these FYPDs and go after some of these guys that have been in high A and perform that likely are going to get an assignment to double A. Because a lot of times with all these injuries, they're kind of forced into action. And sometimes they have the skills, right? I mean, and you can use RoboScout and obviously a million other tools out there too, just to get a good feel for, you know, how they are performing, and looking at splits and some of those things and swinging strikes, you can figure all that stuff out. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, Dylan, it's one of these things that kind of struck me and I'm like, it's like an epiphany slash like kind of like world shattering thought, because it collides with everything that you've ever thought, right? And I know there's been points in time before where there's been some steam, right? Like behind it, like a little bit of helium behind, like, oh yeah, pitching prospects are more valuable. I think right now with the combination of injuries and then the pitching performance up at the major leagues, because it seems like it's a better run environment for pitchers, they seem like a better bet to return value. And if you can get a starter that has some proven track record of handling some innings in the minors, it's a pretty good bet that he's a guy that's probably going to handle some innings in the major leagues. It's not a big adjustment for him to get deeper into games. And, you know, even in categories within leagues, innings pitched is becoming a much more common category. And I honestly think when you look at the overall, even when you don't have it as a category, I would have to pull the numbers. Dylan, maybe you could do this at some point, but it seems like there's a higher correlation between fantasy value and innings, because you accumulate wins, you accumulate Ks and that sort of thing that sometimes can even negate some of the more negative side of things with like a mid-tier starter that maybe has like a 4.2 ERA and a 1.25 whip or something like that.
It definitely is a correlation. Of course, you reach that threshold where it crosses over and that you start to hurt yourself with the rate stats. Sure. But yeah, I think generally if you have more innings pitch, it's kind of a selection bias, because if you have a lot of innings pitches because you're doing well with your starters type of thing, so it's not exactly perfectly correlated. But yeah, I mean, I also think we're seeing like major league teams are not keeping their pitchers down for long, because like this whole bullets in the arm idea. I think they're like major league teams are kind of getting more cutthroat too. Like that just like Torque got sent down today. It's just like, if you're not performing, like we'll just bring somebody up who is. So I do think there is something there. Like Louis Varland I'm just like, I'm all over the place here, but just thinking as you were talking, like Louis Varland was like a sleeper from Minnesota and he's like next in line, but now he's like wasn't performing, so he's gone. And that, like you said, Simeon Woods Richardson has passed him, and it's like he's kind of way down on the depth chart now, it seems, and like when's he coming back, we don't know. So yeah, I do think you're on to something there, just about how it's like get the best talent instead of like, even if they are the best talent, you don't want them because there's so much attrition in the minor leagues. You just want the talent because it seems like the major league teams are kind of like calling them up and using them. So I do like that. I mean, I'm working on my fantasy top 100 right now, and I have a lot more pitchers in there than I used to have. So I think it's just sort of like it's all coming out in the wash, like what you're saying. It's for whatever reason, that is how it seems to be trending.
Absolutely. We got more pitcher talk coming up in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break, Dylan. We come back. We're going to dive into 10 pitching prospects with up arrows that you probably want to go out there and acquire in one way, shape, or form, especially based on this conversation. We'll be right back.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
All right, and we are back. Dylan, I teased it before the break, but we're kind of doing what we did last week with hitting prospects. We're going to sort of do the same thing with pitching prospects. Maybe a little bit less like deep names. You know, I think there's a few guys we're going to mention that are probably rostered in a lot of dynasty leagues, but they might be good trade targets or players that you can go out there and get, or if you're in a shallower league, probably easy scoops. But I think we have a pretty good mix. We kind of drafted this off air about 3 hours ago, 2 hours ago. So we each kind of picked our guys. Dylan, do you want to go with yours first, or would you like me to give you some time to prepare and I can go on a tangent about Luis Perales?
You can go on about Luis Perales. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Perales is a guy that, you know, I think we had both talked about a little bit just in terms of the stuff plus and how that had popped. It was a great fastball. He's always got a ton of ride on that sucker with really good velocity, you know, good playing characteristics in terms of, you know, the vertical approach angle is, you know, below 4.5, all that sort of stuff, all the things that we look for. It's like it's an extreme cut ride fastball at 97 miles per hour. Well, this year he's diversified the arsenal. He's found this cutter that he was kind of toying with the end of last season, where he started to have some success. It's been a major pitch for him. It's actually his most thrown pitch in his entire arsenal, which I think is is really interesting. And it's like 89 miles an hour, you know, kind of typical cutter shape. But it's an early count strike stealer for him. So he gets a lot of strikes again off of it. You know, it's funny because it's been hit a little bit. But it's a pitch that allows him to get ahead in the count and then use his swing and miss fastball and his secondaries to sort of really mix it up. And he's got a legitimate splitter. You know, that's his changeup, 85, 86 miles an hour. That pitch is a 33.6% swinging strike rate, which is ridiculous. If you like whiff, it's a 58.2% whiff rate. Lands it in the zone a lot, 68% strike rate. The zone rate on it is pretty good too, which is unusual for a splitter. Has that great four seam, like I mentioned. Has a little bit more of like a typical gyro slider that he throws as well at 84. And then mixes in a sweeper too around that range. So he's got like really varied sort of slider shapes. Has that splitter, throwing the cutter a lot more. It's a really interesting arsenal. And, you know, he's missing bats kind of across the board with all of his pitches. Just got promoted to Double A, had a great Double A debut. he's a guy with big up arrows, and I would say is a top 100 prospect right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I had him last year in a dynasty league, and I was just worried about the command. He had like double digit walk rate. I was just like, you know, I'm always a sucker for stuff, but I always get burned because they can't throw it for strikes, like the DL Halls or guys like that. And so I dropped him. And now, of course, he's got the command. His ball percentage is like 33% or something really good. His walk rate's in the single digits. And I definitely regret dropping him. So yeah, I think he's top 100 for me too on my fantasy list as well. So
yeah,
that's a great name. Really great name.
And the funny thing is, he was on my breakout pitchers list coming into 2023. If you remember, I kind of went through and did a postmortem afterward and said who I thought were wins and who were losses. I had him as like kind of a in between. He's kind of pushing himself into the win category now. So I'm feeling good about that one. But yeah, I think he's a player to go out there and acquire in a more shallow dynasty keeper format where there's prospects that you can roster and you have an open spot. I think Paralis is a worthy one to go after, especially like in a points league, because he, you know, with this newfound command and stuff that he's always had the stuff, he could be a potential stud.
And like you said, he's in Double A now, so there's a chance he makes it to the big leagues this year too. So really like that name. Shall I do my first name? Yes.
Proceed.
I'm going to go with a 22-year-old who is in low A, and that's Grant Taylor of the White Sox. Just coming back from Tommy John. I know you saw him on the Cape, so you can talk about that later. He has like a 5-pitch mix. I'll talk about 4 of the pitches. He has a 4-seamer that's 96. It's pretty flat. It's got over 7 feet extension. He's got an 87 mile an hour slider. Like, that's super fast for a slider. That gets like 48% whiffs. He's got a cutter that kind of tops over 90 miles an hour. It's 91. He throws a curveball that's 83. Like, all of these are faster pitches than like league average or even minor league average for that pitch type. They're kind of working him back slowly. He just came back from Tommy John, so he's had 3 starts or 4 starts, I think, and he's gone 3 innings each. Is that right? Nope, the other way around. Three starts, 4 innings each. And you know what we see with guys coming back from Tommy John usually is they command is kind of not there. Like, the velocity is back, but then they, you know, that if you get command, is they have to kind of remember their muscle memory or whatever. He has a 2% walk rate right now in his 12 innings, 43% strikeout rate. So like, that K-minus BB is, I think, second in low A for 10 innings, minimum 10 innings, I think, behind Tugboat Wilkinson, who's now in high A. But yeah, I mean, the command is there already. He's got a ground ball rate that's over 50%. Like, everything is arrow up. So this is a guy, this is kind of like the Walker Buehlers, the guys who are drafted. And because they're recovering from Tommy John, they're kind of forgotten, but like, don't sleep on them. And this guy's coming back. And he's one of my favorite pitching prospects right now. Grant Taylor of the White Sox.
Yeah, he is one that's near and dear to my heart because he was absolutely shoving on the Cape in 2022. And he got shut down right before the All-Star break. So he would have been chosen as an All-Star. Probably if he makes 2 more starts, he's probably the pitcher of the year on the Cape. Was just absolutely dominating. They wanted him to go back to LSU, and he ends up getting injured, I think, in the fall. And, you know, and ends up not pitching, of course, for that national championship team. And it gets drafted, comes to pro ball. But it's great to see him succeeding. Really deep arsenal of pitches and just a really high level understanding of like pitch metrics and sort of himself and his arsenal and grips. And, you know, somebody that was always kind of tinkering and trying different pitches out when he was in the Cape, looking at different guys' grips and, you know, that sort of thing. Like, was studious and was actually with Brewster and had a very similar, I think, mentality to like, the way Bryce Hubbard was when he was with Brewster the previous summer, you know. So I remember Jamie, the coach of Brewster, spoke very highly of him. So, and I got to see him shove against some good hitters. Chase Meidroth, Twitter's favorite player. he actually, I believe, was struck out by Grant Taylor in one of those videos that I put up there, as well as multi-position guy from the Rockies that I'm totally drawing a blank on right now. What's his name?
In the majors right now?
No.
Oh.
Prospects. Exciting, tooled up, athletic Rockies prospects, plays a bunch of different positions. Cole Carrick. Yeah, I was like, alliteration name. Try to think of an alliteration name. But no, I like Grant Taylor a lot, so I think that's a good one. I'll jump into my next one. That is Yulver Diaz of the Diamondbacks. He's really performed in the Texas League, which is not an easy place to perform. Kind of switched up his pitch uses this year, where we're throwing a curveball more last year where he was getting rocked a little bit. Has kind of pocketed the curveball for the slider. He's using it sort of 3-1 with the curveball. And the thing that's nice about this slider, it's like super tight gyro, like it's almost 0-0. So it's like almost perfect bullet spin. Tons of command on that pitch. The four-seam fastball is playing up in terms of command as well this year. You know, kind of a dead zone-y average pedestrian shape, but he sits 96, 97, which certainly helps. You know, we'll touch 98, 99 at peak. Commands it pretty well, like I said, and he has that curveball sort of as a third pitch as well. And then, yeah, doesn't really throw a changeup at all. No changeups in the data whatsoever. But, you know, 28.5%. swing strike rate on that slider, 57.7% whiff rate, 70% strike rate, a 174 xWOBA against that. And actually the four-seamer has a sub-300 xWOBA, which is really good to see off the four-seamer as well that doesn't have great shape. But has velocity, he commands it, and, you know, I think the plane isn't bad as well. So that probably helps. But Yulber Diaz is one where I think it's another one of these guys where, you know, interesting pitching prospects. Maybe there's some opportunity there. And he's figured something out. He's throwing a lot of strikes. And he's handling a really tough environment. I think anytime we see somebody, you know, who handles Amarillo pretty well, we got to be on alert that they're probably a rotation piece.
Definitely like Yulber Diaz, another guy, big stuff. If he can harness that command, then I'm all in. And he'll stick in that rotation. My second pick here will be a guy I also wrote about, RoboScout. That's Quinn Matthews of the St. Louis Cardinals, formerly Stanford Cardinal. He was carving up low A, but he was 23. So, you know, there was some caution that he's old for the level. He should be befuddling the low A hitters. But if you looked under the hood, you could see that it wasn't just, you know, he's a college pitcher who could dominate these hitters. He actually had like a lot of stuff, so that would play up at any level. So he got the call up to high A, and he's just continuing to shove, the opposite of rake. He has a 33% strikeout rate and only a 4% walk rate. He has a swing strike rate on the year of 19%, a ground ball rate above 50%. He's going 6 innings per game. And obviously, if you know anything about his history, he has stamina, has endurance. He threw 156 pitches or something like that in a college game.
Just about a year ago in a regional.
Exactly. So
it was college, I can't remember. I think it was a regional or a super regional.
The thing about him is that his stuff's ticked up like 2 or 3 miles an hour. He now has like pretty dominant stuff. His four seamer is averaging 95 miles an hour. It's pretty flat. It's got a -4 VAA, has a whiff rate of 30%. So when I tell you these whiff rates, they're all better than average for that type of pitch. So the average four seamer, has a whiff rate of like 24%. He's at 31%. He throws a changeup second most common for him. That has a whiff rate of 55%. He's got a slider. It's pretty much a tight little bullet slider that has a whiff rate of 47%. The average whiff rate on a slider is 35%. He also throws a curveball that's in the mid to high 70s. that has a foot of horizontal break. It's got a whiff rate of 35%, which is basically average. So maybe not all of them are above average. But he basically has a four-pitch mix here. He knows how to pitch. He commands it. His ball rate's pretty good. So his walk rate is in single digits. Yeah, Quinn Matthews, arrow up for me. He's pushing. He's top 150, I think, for me. Even though he's older and carving up the lower levels, like I said, his stuff's there that I think will play up at the higher levels. He's kind of got the pedigree. He's got the history. He's got the background. I think that, you know, he's a pitcher that'll do well for the Sabres. Yeah. Cardinals. Quinn Matthews.
A little bit older, but it's very Shane Bieber-ish, like a command. You know, obviously he's a left-hander, not a righty, but command guy from the West Coast that kind of finds that power in pro ball, and all of a sudden everything's really playing up and he's just jumping levels. You know, I think he's ready. I'm probably ready for double A, and we'll see how he handles the Texas League. Wouldn't shock me if that happens shortly. All right. I'm going to go deep into the bag on this one. Going to go with a young hard throwing left-hander from the Rockies organization. Everybody loves Rockies pitching prospects, though. And I mean, I think we can both agree upon that. Luigi Casilla. He's really, really interesting. 6'2", listed 180 pounds, left-hander, 19 years old, was pretty good in the Dominican Summer League last year, had a 3.32 ERA over 40.2 innings, was in the DSL the year before, 22.2 innings, 1.19 ERA. So obviously performed thus far over four appearances spanning 13 innings. Has a 4.85 ERA, but 3.16 FIP, 3.48 xFIP. He's got a 66.7% ground ball rate, 41.9% strikeout rate. Issue, Dylan, command's not great. 14.5% walk rate. All right, so that's kind of the good and the bad in terms of performance. That's not why we're here. The pure stuff. He's got a really interesting four-seam fastball shape. Doesn't get like any ride at all. It's almost like a cutter at 95 miles an hour. So it's kind of an interesting pitch. I kind of wonder where that goes with some of these guys. Like their shape isn't fully baked yet, but it's like 9 IVB, like 6 horizontal break. It's really weird and kind of outlier, but it's from a left-hander at 95 with pretty good spin. Maybe that turns into a two-seamer or more of just a straight cutter eventually. But I think when we're talking about 19-year-old pitchers, we got to understand that there's, you know, obviously some runway still. Interesting slider, 84 to 85 miles an hour. We'll touch, you know, the high 80s. Gets kind of like gyro cut shape, you know, so not a lot of IVB, a little bit of drop, a little bit of horizontal. Kind of an interesting pitch at 85, get some decent movement, could project for maybe more power as well as he gets older. Then he throws a straight splitter at 89 miles an hour. Miss rates on the slider and the changeup, 60% on the slider, 50% on the changeup. Swing and strike rates on both those pitches, 20 plus. And, you know, an above average swing and strike rate and miss rate on the four-seam fastball. So he's a little bit more of a projection play. He's not a guy that's going to help you right away. But he's one where we've gotten pretty good feedback on him, and just watching some video, we'll probably get more when Josh is out there in Arizona. I know Josh loves Luigi Casilla. I think he's a name to maybe, you know, in a deeper league to maybe go out there and ask for as like maybe a throw in a trade or throw a couple fab dollars to add as like your last pitching prospect. And perhaps he pops a little bit more on the complex, because while the ERA isn't good, the underlying numbers are pretty good. The walks obviously need to get into check, but gets ground balls, gets swing and strikes. That's a pretty good combination. It's Luigi, L-U-I-C-H-I. And Casilla is C-A-S-I-L-L-A. So go out there and search his name up and see if he's available. Want to make sure that, because it's one of those where like we could say it and like phonetically someone may not spell it correctly. So want to make sure I can spell it out for you, literally. All right, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean the guy's 19 years old, or in his age 19 season, and he throws 95 from the left side. So he's got the stuff. I'm going to talk about someone in their age 19 season. who is one of the younger pitchers in low A. I talked about him before, interesting data, and that's Bishop Letson of the Brewers. Ben Badler talked about how these are guys, he wrote an article about like a bunch of pitching prospects whose stuff had ticked up and he was in there. And it's just some of the most interesting stuff for me that I've seen. He's got the highest extension, the longest extension, longest extension. Is that right? I never know what the adjective is.
Yeah, that's right.
It's over 7 feet. It's like almost 7.5 feet of extension. He also has like 15 inches of horizontal arm side run on his like fastballs. And then he's got 15 inches of glove side run on his secondaries. Like it's just got a lot of like significant movement. He's kind of like a Jacob Mizorowski, like super extension, lots of big movement. He's in his age 19 season. He throws 93 as well. So like all the stuff's there. Of course, the issue is the command. He's got double digit walks. But he's improved in the last 5 weeks. Like more recently, he's kind of commanding a bit better. Yeah, it's just this is a guy. This is just like raw stuff. Raw clay is there. Really like what the Brewers are doing with their pitching development. What their development at all in total. One thing that's interesting though is you know there is that whole thing about Ricky Tiedemann and his release point is different between his you know fastball and slider. This Bishop Letson actually has a significant gap. In his release height, his four seam, he releases at 69 inches and his curve is at 61. That's 8 inches difference.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. That's
he was much. Like three.
Yeah, exactly. His slider's at 62 as well. And like the two seams at 65. So he's all over the board. His fastballs are up high. His secondaries and off speed are down low, like 5'1", 5'2". And the fastballs are like 5'6", 5'9". So he's gonna have to figure that out and get more consistent there. Because as he goes up in the levels, he'll you know more advanced hitters are gonna prey on that, I think. But just a lot of very interesting stuff there. Like I said, he's super long extension, a lot of horizontal movement, throws 93. Just a very very interesting arm, Bishop Letson of the Brewers.
Agree. My next name I'm gonna throw out there. Is Alejandro Rosario. I know that, or Alejandro Rosario. I tried to roll my R's there. But I know both of these guys are more pitchers that Josh Norris has seen because he's been blessed with all the really interesting arms this year. I've been getting all the boring poo-poo. But Alejandro Rosario, a guy I saw in the Cape, looked really good in the Cape, struggled at college at Miami, came in as a highly touted prospect. Things kind of never came to fruition. Miami and pitchers of late and highly touted prospects have struggled a little bit. So that's not like it's not a huge surprise to me. He got into pro ball. I've talked with the Rangers people a little bit about it and they've just sort of changed his mix and how he's throwing and how frequently he's throwing certain pitches. I don't know what other tweaks they've made. Kind of has like a two seam fastball. It's, I guess you could call it dead zoney, but it's really more of a side spinning fastball where it's got a ton of arm side run. Pretty low release height, sits 97 miles an hour, 96 to 98. He's been up to 100 this year. Throwing that pitch for strikes 70% of the time. He's a guy that, you know, has always generated a lot of ground balls this year so far in low A, 56.9% ground ball rate. He's doing that. He's a high spin guy as well. The slider's pretty interesting at 83. It's really more of like a slurve because it does sort of have two plane, like, you know, drop as well as sweep. It's really more like a power curveball at 83 to 84 miles an hour, which is a really good pitch. You know, I think he calls it a splitter, but it's kind of, I guess it's kind of a splitter, but tons of arm side movement on arm side run on that changeup. He's generating swing strikes against all of his pitches, pretty good whiff rates. He's throwing strikes at a high rate right now. And overall, the numbers have been outstanding. Whether you're looking at ERA 1.44, FIP 2.08, XFIP 1.66. And he's a guy, like I said, who's kind of figured out the command side of things. And, you know, kudos to the Rangers for drafting this guy in the fifth round and seeing what could be. Because I think when we saw him on the Cape and he had different coaching staff and his mix was a little bit different, he looked like he really could be dominant. So I think we're starting to see that pro ball. It's really exciting. Of course, you know, low A, but I think he's a guy that's going to get some quick promotions after this one because he's showing really well. And I know the organization is excited. I know you're excited about him too, Don.
I am. He's fourth in low A on RoboScout, and the guys ahead of him have all been promoted. Matt Wilkinson, Quinn Matthews, and Jonah Tong. So definitely just a matter of time before he's
a sign. It's a sign.
Exactly. High A.
Good. Who's your fourth?
So the Mets pitching development has had quite a renaissance. I won't spoil anything, but you know, Christian Scott has you know, come onto the scene. Blake Tidwell, I think he's in AAA now too. Jonah Tong, the aforementioned Jonah Tong, he's been getting a lot of write-ups from Eli Ben Porat when he was in low A and had the Statcast available. So I'm going to talk about someone who is very interesting as well, and that is Nolan McLean. Two-way player. But on the mound, he's got a lot of interesting stuff too, considering I guess he's probably raw. I guess raw meaning he, you know, hasn't been dedicated to that craft. 95 mile an hour, four seamer. He throws it from a 5'4" release, so a bit lower. And so it comes in flat. It's at minus like 4.5 VAA, vertical approach angle. He actually has a lot of run on it as well. He gets over a foot of horizontal run. The interesting thing, and what I always like, is how you have a lot of arm side run on your fastball. And then you have a lot of glove side run on your slider. And he has that. He has over 14 inches of horizontal break on his slider. That's at 85 miles an hour. So, you know, there's 28 inches of difference there, of horizontal break in either direction. And then he has a cutter that kind of bridges between the two that he throws at 90 miles an hour. He's got a changeup. He's got a two seamer to give another look. The one thing is he doesn't really get that many whiffs on these. He's kind of pitching to contact in some way, more contact than he's getting as a hitter. But he has a 60% ground ball rate. So it's quite effective right now. It's one of the higher ground ball rates in high A. So, you know, I like what I'm seeing there. I like what the Mets are doing in their pitching development. I think they probably want him to be a pitcher rather than a two-way player. I think
I think it's definitely pitching over hitting. Like he whiffs. He gets butt naked up there, as someone once said about him. He was out here on the Cape, and I asked a player who will remain nameless. I was like, "Hey, you played against McLean. It was his first game. How'd he look?" He was like, "I don't know, man. That guy swings and misses a ton. He got butt naked at the plate." So whenever I think about Nolan McLean as a hitter, I think about how someone said he got butt naked at the plate. with all of his whiff. So now he's definitely a pitcher. I think he's a top 100 potential prospect as a pitcher. He is not as a hitter. I think this is just, they're entertaining it for now. Maybe it's like Michael Lorenzo, where they let him hit every so often or something, but they're keeping the tool sharp. You know, maybe he likes that. It keeps him entertained, but yeah, he's a pitcher. And I agree with you about the Mets pitching development. You know, they were able to pull over, you know, some talent in terms of front office and player development. So I think that trying to think of the guy's name from the Cincinnati that they bagged, the young driveline guy. I don't know how I'm drawing a blank on this right.
I know exactly what you're talking about too.
I'm gonna say it in like a second. Like,
Chris,
no,
is that right? No, I don't know. I couldn't even pull Cole Carrick, so I'm not any use to you right now.
Yeah, it will come to me shortly. It will come to me shortly, and I'll remember who it is. But anyway, yeah, I think that we're actually starting to see some of that stuff, you know, come to fruition. And they have a lot of talented arms, and it seems like they're getting a lot out of a lot of these very talented arms. So that being said, my next pitcher is actually another Mets pitching prospect, and that is Brandon Sproat, who I think actually is number one or two on the hot sheet that you're probably just reading this morning as this is coming out, or we're teasing it. It's coming out in like an hour if you're listening very, very early. Sproat, Florida guy, drafted three times, drafted by the Mets in consecutive years. They couldn't come to an agreement. They drafted him the following year. So obviously, this is an organization that really wanted to go after this guy. Great stuff. Four-seam fastball, it's not like incredible shape, but he sits 95 to 96, commands it pretty well, gets weak contact against it. Kind of dead zone-y shape, actually, but he mixes a few different shapes. He's got a good slider at 85 to 86 miles an hour. That's kind of like a gyro cut shape. He gets some swing and miss on that. The changeup has been good as well. Upper 80s changeup, kind of with, I guess, somewhat splitterish shape, really hard arm side run on that sucker as well. You know, he's getting swinging strikes on that pitch at the highest rate of any pitch in his arsenal, just about 22% of the time. He'll mix in a two-plane curveball as well. He's got a two-seam shape on the fastball. He showed a cutter as well. So, I mean, in total, you're talking like six total pitch shapes, and he's been mixing it up and performing and looked really, really good. I think Sproat is a guy that I would go out and get there. So I would go out and get Brandon Sproat. Hopefully I said it correctly that time.
I think he had 10 strikeouts yesterday, or 2 days ago when you're hearing this. So he's not going to be under the radar if he is at all for very long. My final name is going to be a bit of a cheat. He is probably one of the top pitching prospects on my list. That's Noah Schultz of the White Sox. I just, it can't be, you know, overstated how good his stuff is on my model. The model we have internally, it just, he's got 17 inches of horizontal run on his 96 mile an hour two seamer. Like, the thing just eats up lefties, eats up righties as well, because the slider comes in, he throws them, comes in kind of in from the side, and it's got like 13 inches of horizontal break. He's got a cutter that he throws occasionally, but he doesn't even really need to, because of just these hellacious pitches. He is the top rated pitching prospect in high A, just ahead of Luis Perales, ahead of Owen Murphy, who is undergoing Tommy John surgery, just ahead of Zebby Matthews, who finally walked a batter, just ahead of Jaden Hamm, a very popular pitching prospect this year. But, you know, of all those guys, a lot of good company there. Noah Schultz is coming out on top. He's got a 38% strikeout rate. He's got a walk rate of 6%. That slider that I was talking about, it has a 52% whiff rate. It's just, he just comes in and he's just like all arms and limbs, but he has pretty good control of it, it seems, because he's keeping that walk rate under control. Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing else to say. He just kind of probably the highest stuff plus in the minors, other than Paul Skeens, on our model. That's Noah Schultz of the White Sox.
Yeah, he is ridiculous. It's Eric Jagers, by the way, with the Mets is who I was
thinking. There you go.
So, yeah. Some great names here, though, Dylan. Those were 10 absolutely awesome names for you to go out there and get. I think a lot of interesting pitching prospects kind of from all different levels of the minors, but guys outside of Casilla, who probably could move pretty quick. And I think Quinn Matthews, we could turn back the clock a year from now and say, wow, like, that was prescient. You know, that guy's in the big leagues, handling some innings, looks good. It's legitimate stuff. And he's eating some innings and helping us out with our fantasy team. So, Dylan, with all that said, 45 minutes deep, we had a long conversation about pitchers this week. We talked like nothing but pitchers, pitching injuries, pitcher performance, minor league pitchers, prospects to go get, all elements of it. Really fun conversation. Dylan, as always, thank you for joining me. And all you out there, thanks for tuning in. This has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast.
Cheers.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more
reps, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.